It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, January 9th, 2019, and waiting anxiously for our little grandbaby. Went up at the top of the hill. Abby's getting, today's her due date, actually. And if we don't get a little baby today, then we're going to, and don't get it tomorrow, and don't get it on Friday, then I think the doctor's going to pop that balloon, so to speak, on Saturday. And he or she's going to arrive then. We're looking forward to that. Blessed is a man who's got a quiver full of them, right? Little arrows, so. We're grateful for that. I feel terrible. I've been coming in here every morning and giving a Todd update, and I did not get a chance to talk to Todd yesterday. It's just crazy. We cut down about here in the Dobenmeyer Ranch or Estates. Chad, I don't know what to call it. You call yours the Estes Ranch. I don't have a ranch. We got woods, and over the last 4 days, we took down about 20, 25 maybe dead trees. And I've been out, I've been doing some work, believe it or not. And yesterday, the day disappeared. And then I was going to sit down and I was going to call a couple people. And then I got a phone call, didn't get a chance to. And then I was on Hagman again last night. And I feel bad. I didn't get a chance to talk to Todd. I don't know if anybody else did that would have an update for him. I'm not going to call him and wake him up. Or, hopefully he's sleeping well. Continue to keep him in your prayers and keep, Brian Cunningham in your prayers. And this one's just heart-wrenching. I don't know how many of you are aware of this. Rusty Thomas's sons, I got that wrong. Remember Rusty Thomas, of course, lost his son Jeremiah to cancer. Rusty Thomas's son-in-law was just diagnosed with colon cancer. His son-in-law. I think he's probably around 30, Robbie. So, I mean, boy, when it rains, it pours, right? Keep that situation in prayer as well. Rusty launched the Jeremiah's Wish yesterday. So many things going on, man. Just so much happening. And I want to be a good boy today, sort of. Not really. A lot of stuff I want to talk to you about. I promised Gary, I want to tip my cap to Gary Pierce, who's really, he's the thorn in my shoe. This keeps me on target here because, I get a tendency to waver off a little bit. I got 37 folks in here. Somebody to jump in here and join us today. Josh, man, it's good to see you in there, man. Haven't spoken to you in a while. Pray everything's going well down there. That's another guy I'll give a call to. Just welcome all of you in here, my brothers. Dustin, I see you. I'm just going down here. Just great. You faithful guys, John Hartzler. And thanks for getting up in the morning and joining us. But I want to thank Gary, and Gary's been working really, really hard on a calendar on our homepage. So if you go there real quick, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but Gary's put a lot of time and effort into it. So we don't want anybody to be caught their pants down or not knowing what's going on. And we're still trying to encourage some of you to have a huddle in your town or do whatever. There's some stuff going on that we don't even have on there. And Roger, I haven't spoken to Pastor Todd if we're anywhere with trying to get Bradley Dean in there. That would be great. January 11th on your calendar, the Greater Texas Salt Light Brigade Assemblies at Moody, Texas. That's Chad's coming up this weekend. If you're going to go there, please let Chad know. By the way, you go to our website, CoachDaveLive.com, go to the calendar. I think it says events on it. You just click on every one of these things, and they unfold, and they give you all the details and everything there. So you find something within your area that you'd like to be part of. There it is. So in Texas, the details are right there. Texas Salt and Light Brigade Assembly at Moody, Texas. Then the 27th, we've got the regional huddle in Oskaloosa. It says at Iowa and Oskaloosa. Denny Bryan's putting that together, and that thing's coming along great. February 10th through the 15th, we got the disaster relief in Panama City, Florida, if you'd like to go with that. Same thing as the information's all there. Player of the Week, Bobby Lee's got this huddle arranged for us in Allentown, Pennsylvania, March 2nd all day. All the information he wants right there. March 8th and 9th, Rob Pugh's have his fabulous Ministry Expo and Conference at the Marshfield Mall, March 8th and 9th. So we're going to be in Marshfield, Wisconsin. Then the 29th of March, we're going to be at Hear the Watchman Conference in Texas. You know, Mike Kerr and Jeannie put all that stuff on. Here are the Watchman events. By April 12th, Occupy Till Our Come, Equipping the Saints here at the Courtyard Married in Canton, Ohio. Last year we had to charge like $99 for that thing. I hated to do it. And we were able to knock that price down today. This year we got it down to $49. Isn't that something? You can order your tickets there now, and it's going to be more focused. Tom Dunn, Russ Dizdar, Chad, look at that mug. That's a demon possession, I guess, Chad. That must be what you're speaking on there. Just kidding, man. Just kidding. Yeah, we're doing this, and really, this is kind of our own event. We use Russ because he's local. He's right there. David Arthur's going to be there. We're going to teach spiritual warfare. We're going after this thing. There's my ugly mug and Dr. Mike Spalding, who's also local. Mark Harrington's going to be new to it. Mark's going to come and talk to us about abortion. This is going to be something. This is not for eggheads. This is not information only. And we're really stepping out on this. And because a lot of times in the past, we brought in some other people because we needed to draw. You know, we got to get 200 people there to even meet our expenses, right? And so you have a tendency to, when you do that, to bring in what I would call big names. And I don't, you know, I'm not making fun of that because that's how it works. But with the big names goes the expenses, meaning more hotel rooms. Now listen, the people come and speak, they get a very small honorarium. That's it. And they make money off of their, you know, at their tables and all that kind of stuff. We don't pay these folks huge salaries, but the hotel rooms are very, very expensive. The travel's very, very expensive. So we eliminated this down. We focused it more on what it's going to be. And it's going to be a hands-on organization, Salt and Light Brigade, teaching, get to know people in your area type of an event. It's different. We've really gone out on a limb. Mark Harrington's from Ohio. I want you to see this so you see how we kept our costs down. Mark Harrington there, Created Equal. Mark's going to do a fabulous job. David Arthur, Ohio. Coach Dave, Ohio. Dr. Mike Spalding, Ohio. Chad Estes is from Texas, but he would have been coming anyway. But Chad's going to talk about how we organize our Salt and Light Brigade. Russ Dizdar is right there in Canton. Tom Dunn in Ohio. So we were able to keep our speaker expenses down, and that's why we're going to be able to offer tickets for $49. And that's really good. And we're hoping a lot of you come because we want to try to organize a local huddle. By local huddles, we're going to try to put people together who in different regions who haven't met. We're going to have breakout sessions and all that kind of stuff. And that's up and now. Gary's done a great job on getting all that stuff ready to go. Go back to the account. Oh, thanks, Jared. Jared's on top of it. Then after that, then we're having a regional huddle with Coach Dave May 3rd and 4th. That's going to be in Rochester, Minnesota. Pam Miller's putting that one together. Rochester, Minnesota, May 3rd and 4th. And May 11th, we're having a scrimmage with Coach Dave. That's all day, and that baby's going to be from St. Louis. I don't know. I got to keep talking to Gary because he seems to think we have something going on in St. Louis. And Gary, that is in Louisville. Mother's Day weekend, the abortion clinic in Louisville. So we'll get that straightened out. Then the Hear the Watchman conference in Long Island. That's going to be made. Well, we've got some good stuff going on, don't we? One more event, I think, or is that the last one? Okay, so if you're not on the schedule, let's get on the schedule, man. Let's get something going right where you live. Okay, sorry to take 9 minutes on that, but that stuff is, again, hey, Jared, go back there again. I'm sorry. So, folks, you go to the website. You click on any one of those things, and the details are there. Just click on one of them. There it is. Greater Salt and Light Brigade Assembly in Moody, Texas. There's the information. So, I thank again, Gary, thanks, man, for keep me on top of it, because I certainly do need it. I want to anybody want to roll in here real quick? Anything that they want to say? I'm not trying to put any pressure on. Cool. I want a couple things I think are really really critical here. I want to show you. Let's go to the Lord just said this to me. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. I want to make a point. How many of you had the chance to, I hate to do this because then you got to I was on Hagman Report last night, and it was I had some energy last night. It was good. It was good last night, and I just always thank God for the opportunity to be able to be on there. They called me yesterday about, I don't know, it was late, like 5:30 or something, asked if I'd come on, and didn't really have a topic. We went after it hard yesterday with the idea of men being men. You have to do it. And, you know, I made up, I won't go there. What did I say? Matthew, I want to show you guys something. I don't know why this is so hard for us to understand. Why we read words and don't think what those words mean. Words have meaning. All right? And the way that you interpret a word will make all the difference. Jared, go to Webster's, Jared. Go to Webster's real quick, because we're going to need it here. Blessed. Blessed. B-L-E-S-S-D. Blessed. What does it say? Made happy or prosperous. Extolled, pronounced happy. Happy, prosperous in worldly affairs, enjoying spiritual happiness and the favor. There it is. Enjoying spiritual happiness and the favor of God. Don't miss that. The favor of God. Spiritual happiness and the favor of God. Be spiritually happy and have the favor of God. Okay? Enjoying the heavenly felicity. I love Webster. Wouldn't you love to have a conversation with that guy? Man, don't you? Isn't that one of those guys you wish could have lived 500 years rather than Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer? Amen. Crummy. So, Jared, let's go back to Matthew. Keep in mind, right? Favor of God. Every time you read blessed in this Beatitudes, talk about the favor of God. Go back to Matthew 5 here. The favor of God. The favor of God is on the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The favor of God are on those that mourn, for they shall be kept comforted. The favor of God are on the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Boy, Jared, should I go to meek? Should I go to Webster and see what it says about meek? The favor of God is upon the meek. Mild of temper, gentle, not easy. Oh, how about this? Two, appropriately humble. Appropriately humble. Submissive to the divine will. Those are the meek. Appropriately humble and submissive to the divine will. Not proud, self-sufficient, or refractory, not peevish, and apt to complain of divine dispensations. So someone who is meek is appropriately humble and submissive to the divine will. Boy, that's different, isn't it? That's better than mild, soft of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, because that's not what it means. That's not what it means. Go back, Jared, I'm heading somewhere. The favor of God's on the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The favor of God's on they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The favor of God's on the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The favor of God's on the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh my goodness. The favor of heart, favor of God are on the peacemaker. For they shall be called the children of God. Now, hang on a minute. Isn't it funny, right after he talked about the peacemakers, he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The favor of God is on those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Am I wrong to connect 9 and 10? Am I wrong to make a connection here that the favor of God's on the peacemakers and they are persecuted for righteousness? Am I wrong? Am I wrong with the favor of God? Verse 11 is on you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So for so persecuted the prophets who were before you. Don't you see the flow of this thing? But that's not where I wanted to go. Jared, I want to go back to 10. I think it was 10. Blessed, right there, buddy. Blessed are the favor of God is on the peacemaker. Hey, Jared, go to Webster. Because I think we got something wrong here. What's a peacemaker? One who makes peace by reconciling parties that are of variance. Variance. Peacemaker. Peacemaker speaks of authority. Authority. A policeman is a peacemaker. A dad, when he comes into the house after the kids have been misbehaving all day, he is a peacemaker. A woman who stays home and tries to let the children play and not intervene and make them sit in the corner and behave, she's a peacekeeper. Jerry, what's a peacekeeper? What's a peacekeeper? So a peacemaker doesn't even show up, does it? Okay, Jerry, put up a keeper, like a beekeeper. What's a keeper? A keeper is one who keeps, one that holds or has possession of anything, one who retains in custody, one who has the care of a prison, the custody of prison. That's a woman when her kids are running crazy, right? One who has care of the park, one who has the care, custody, or superintendent of anything. See, the peacemaker comes in and brings peace. Christ is the peacemaker. He's the Prince of Peace. Christ is not a peacekeeper. Those are not the same job. And so therefore, when we read the Beatitudes, blessed, the favor of God is on the peacemakers. Well, I'm going to stretch this one for you. Donald Trump's a peacemaker. Have you noticed that he isn't a peacekeeper? Oh, no. He ain't no peacekeeper. He's a peacemaker. And I continue to be amazed. And I ask all the time, can somebody tell me where is his team? I don't know if I've ever seen anybody in any business play the game by himself the way this guy has to play. It's like a quarterback out on a football field and nobody blocked him. And he's running around and he's making plays and he's watching, so block! Somebody block! There's nobody blocking for the guy. It is amazing. But the point that I'm trying to make this morning is this. The church are peace. Wait a minute. Oh, thank you, Lord. Somewhere in this Bible right in front of me, Jared could probably dig it out. It says, they cry, peace, peace. And there is no peace. Where is that, Jared? And we're crying, peace, peace. The church is crying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There's no peace. And we're crying, peace, peace. Jeremiah 6:14. Jeremiah 6. Go there, Jared. Just go to Jeremiah. I'm sorry, man. Sorry to dominate here this morning, but I'm feeling it. Uh-oh. Jared, start down about 3. Start at 1. Oh, ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet, Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire at Beth-Hakerem, for evil appeareth out of the north in great destruction. He says, hey, Jeremiah says, there's some evil coming, boys. Get the fires burning. He says, I've likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. Yeah. So we've got to protect this daughter and comely, delicate woman. The shepherds with their flock shall come under her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed everyone in his own place. So there's trouble in Zion. And here come the shepherds. Prepare ye war against her. Arise and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day cometh away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise and let us go out by night, and let us destroy her palaces. Talking about this Jezebel. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, hew down the trees. Man, that's what I've been doing. Hew down those trees and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is wholly oppressive in the midst of her. As a fountain chase casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. We're talking about America here. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O America, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabitable. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall truly glean the remnant of America as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning? Excuse me, that they may hear behold, their ears uncircumcised. They can't hear. They can't hear. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. They don't want to hear nothing about God's law. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am a fury of the Lord. Therefore, I am full of my fury. No. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary holding in the fury of the Lord. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, and the aged with him that is full of days. Folks, we're talking about a peacemaker here. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their wives, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone's telling lies. They have healed the wounds of my daughter slightly, saying, peace, peace. But there ain't no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? Were they ashamed when they were murdering babies? Nah, they're not ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. And at that time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I could go on, but I'm not. Come on in here today, boys. Feeling my oats. Feeling my oats. When are we going to get mad? Not allowed to. You're a Christian. Christians aren't allowed to get mad. Really. Come on in here. I'm checking on Messi.
You know, Coach, this is not 100% true all the time, but for the last bunch of decades, if the, quote, churches are teaching it, I discount it until I check it out and prove it. I don't accept it as truth. I accept it as a lie until I check it out. That's just the way it is.
It's sad, Larry, that it's come to that point, isn't it, right? Do you guys see the church? Do you see Christians? Do you see God's people as peacemakers? Do you see us coming with the word of the Lord and the long arm of the law? Boom, no. Do you see that? Or are we to go along to get along? Is compromise? Compromise? Jared, there's a good one. Compromise, is that a Christian virtue? Reaching across the aisle, is that a Christian virtue? Backing off on what you believe to make somebody else happy? Is that, that's a Christian virtue? Somebody help me here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Did Randy Lunsford send you what he wrote yesterday?
Did he ever?
You know, Coach, it the Holy Spirit prompted me this morning, go back and read what Randy wrote. And I'm not just saying this to prop Randy up, but man, that pierced me to the core of my being. I don't know if you want that read or not, but
I got it right in front of me, George. I got it right in front of me. Thanks, man. I got a million things running through my heart. Stay here. This is what Randy wrote yesterday. Say, who's Randy? Oh, he's one of your brothers. One of the brothers in the huddle. New one, by the way. Says it's time to offend the dispensational doctrine of demons. The church in the West is dead in the water. Jesus can never be the head and covering over any assembly that does not hate evil. Amen, Randy. We love evil. The escapism mentality produces political correctness and tolerance. It does nothing to offend the gates of hell. By the way, Jesus was known as the Rock of Offense. Google it. The true church of Matthew 16:18 was initiated by Jesus to conquer. He started an insurrection against hell and the world system, including the religious system that was still owned by Satan. Randy, this is so good, man. there it is. We must become offenders. I'm going to say that again. we must become offenders. Love speaks truth. Love corrects. Love cares. Love changes. Tolerance is not love. Tolerance allows everyone to be accepted without transformation. There's your mic drop. There's the American church. Tolerance allows everyone to be accepted without transformation. Just to tell football players, you may act like that at home, but you ain't gonna act like that here. You're not gonna be on our team and act like that. Transformation. Tolerance demands no repentance, and people remain in their sinful lifestyle. God's beginning to shoot his arrows into those strongholds. Will you be one of the arrows? The Holy Spirit is the power of the kingdom, not only pretty words. 1 Corinthians 4:20. We must become doers and take his power everywhere we step. The true church is in every single place that we trod. Rise up, O men of God. All who receive this, please consider if your present agenda and the present system that is delivering your gospel to you will produce the power to lay down your life unto death. He's asking this, where you are getting spiritually nourished, is it preparing you to lay down your life? Could you and I be a martyr for the faith today? Or do we love the things of this world more? And we want to admit the church as we know it is soon to be shaken. Man, that's why I love guys like you. That's it, isn't it? That's a mic drop. Thanks, George. Thanks, George.
Thanks, George. Randy has volunteered to come to Panama City, and he wants to come out to the Iowa Huddle. So I just want to applaud you for jumping in, all four, and looking for a way to help us out. He's got actually a bobcat coach, and he's looking for a trailer and just ways to help. So,
hey, Mark, yeah. Let me tell you this. He is a bobcat. He is a bobcat.
Amen. Chad, I was going to see, I think he's in Texas or down your way, George. So if we could find someone coming that way could pick up the trailer from Randy. So, Chad, I'll be getting with you on that out of your group. Okay.
Yep.
Man. Thanks, Randy.
Thanks, Randy. Man. I don't even know if Randy's in here. It doesn't matter if he is. When I met Randy the first time down at Chad, I knew he was the real deal. And I'll never forget what Randy told me. I said, man, this is what I've been looking for. Whew. What I've been looking for.
Amen. That's
what we've all been looking for, Coach. That's what we've all been looking for. And Randy, I'm telling you this. I'm daily preparing my heart to lay down my life, daily. I said it again last night on Hagman. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I love my family. I want to see my grandchildren grow, but I'm not afraid to anymore. And if it comes to that, I'm willing to do it. Go ahead, George.
Coach, hey, real quick. You know, when I asked Randy to come down to Texas to Chad's, that's his ranch, Randy came, and I think partly he did it just because we're friends, and, you know, me, him, and Paul were really good friends. We've done a lot together. And he came down, and he told me on the way back, he wouldn't stop talking. He was so filled up. But let me tell you this, Coach, and I'm this is kind of a point that I think some other men that are listening right now are at. Randy told me on the way back, he said, George, I just came down to check it out. He said, if you noticed, I was real quiet for a long time. He said, I wanted to see if Coach and these guys in the huddle were the real deal. So here's my challenge, guys. If you're out here listening to this, do the same thing. Don't just blindly say because we like Coach or we like Mark Trump or whoever that they're the real deal. You come check it out. Like Randy did, and you come see if this is real.
Amen, George. Amen. And I'm constantly try to constantly tell everybody, listen, don't try to promote what we're doing about saying you got to listen to Coach. You got to follow. We have enough cult of personality in the world and in Christianity, don't we? It isn't about me. I'm the director. I happen to be directing the band. I happen to be coaching the team. But you ain't following me. If you're following me, you got yourself a serious issue. But you, I'm telling you right now, there are other men right where you live who are sick of it. You found it. Help them find it. Help them find it.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, I was talking with someone the other day, and what we realized, pastor's only used in the Bible once.
One time.
Right? But what pastors need to be more than teachers or coaches. So if you think about a teacher in a school or a coach in a school.
Right.
So I put my finger on it. You're coaching us on how to follow Jesus. You're coaching us on what to do physically, what to do with our bodies in the spirit and the flesh to go and do. So I think pastors need to be coaches. Based on your example, I think that would lead the pews outside the church and try to coach them on what they're good at and try to coach them on how to get it done.
Mm.
They need coaches, well, Coach.
We need coaches, man. We need coaches. And I'm not going to say any more than that. That's why I'm a coach. That's what it is. So if you want me to play the game for you, I can't do it. I can't play the game in Oskaloosa. Somebody else got to get the game organized and play it. I can encourage and give you some pointers on it, but you're going to have to play. You're going to have to play. Look what a player Chad Estes has become. Look what a player Mark Trump has become. Jim Kraft. There I go. George. I just forget people. Look at your own. How about this? Look at your life and the impact in your life from this daily gathering. And you ask me why you aren't helping more people come and get involved. Look at the impact it's had on your life. Let your life be a witness to the effectiveness of whether this is good ground or good.
Are you filling a bucket up in the mornings to go use during the day? And do you use it? Or is it still full the next morning and you get more stuff?
Amen, buddy. Yep. Because ultimately, you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to give an account for what you do, not what I do.
Hey, Coach.
As much as somebody else would like to do that for you, that's not the way it works. Yeah, Paul.
Well, I just want to say one of the things that really makes this so unique is that you're not afraid for us to step out and do what God is calling us to do. Mm-hmm. You're not fearful or anything like that. And I think a lot of pastors are, because if someone comes out of their shell and starts doing things, then that's going to draw attention to them, not to the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
amen.
And what you do is you allow us. An example I'll give is Sunday, the coach for the LA Chargers, name's Anthony Lynn, and somebody on the show, on the one of the pregame shows, said the thing he did was he hired a bunch of ex, not just coordinators, but ex head coaches to run the offense and run the defense. And he just basically oversees everything. He's not trying to coach the players. He just oversees
coach the coaches.
Right. And he's not afraid. And but the thing is, some of those coaches would be afraid to do that because the former head coach might try to usurp him and get his job, but he's not afraid of that. That tells you that he's comfortable with who he is. And I think that's where a lot of pastors are. They're not comfortable with who they are. So they try to do something to be head over something and not allow people to come out of their shells.
They want to be
and
somebody.
That's why you see men so many times just sitting there not doing anything because they're docile. Because they've been made that way.
Well, hang on a second, Larry. Let me make this point, Paul, because you're exactly right. Pastors are peacekeepers, not peacemakers. Peace at all costs. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, over the couple of years we've been on the air and everything now, we've pretty much gotten past meaning, when we refer to the church, we always qualify it that it's that satanic social club or that apostate church that we're talking about. We need to do the same thing with that word pastors, because these 6-foot popsicles wearing the tight pants in front of a congregation behind a podium are no more representatives of God than gift card right here.
Absolutely. And we've yielded authority to them. They are the ones speaking for God, right? Well, that would be good.
I'm supposed to come under the teaching of some 31-year-old tight, skinny jean kid who hasn't even lived life and tells me love is everything? Come on now. That doesn't speak to me at all. I've heard too much of God's word at 58.
And Roger, if you don't come under his authority, you are rebellious, Roger.
You are rebellious, and they want to put you aside.
God has appointed him over you, Roger.
I don't know why I'm stuck on 2 Timothy 4, and I'm just stuck on the word rebuke, correct. No, it's not just tolerance is love and love them in. It's just ridiculous.
Hey, Coach.
Well, Roger, I was going to say that, you know, you probably can't use, in this day and age, you probably can't use the term rebuke enough.
Is that not the truth? My goodness.
Coach.
Yeah, George.
You know, Coach, what I love about the huddle, what I love about being around you and the guys, because I've been around so many things in my life where people want to be over people to satisfy their egos. And, you know, I heard this many years ago. If you want to be over a whole bunch of people, then go down to your local cemetery and you'll have all the people underneath you that you want.
Uh-huh. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, if they don't do nothing, come lay there.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Coach.
Yes. Yep.
In our bylaws in our church, we identify ourselves as under shepherds. When Jesus dealt with Peter three times, he says, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep, and take care of my sheep. A shepherd leads the sheep. A shepherd feeds the sheep good, healthy food. And a shepherd uses a staff, not for photo ops, but to drive off wolves. And we haven't done that, brother. What we have become, we need more pastors. We need pastors just being Christians. That's what we need pastors to be.
Yep. But see, we've lost an idea of what it is. Pastors are peacekeepers, not makers. Jared, I got to show this, Coach at City Council. Something popped up on my screen yesterday evening, and I had a lot of emails yesterday. That's why I didn't get on the phone. Anyway, something popped up. It was a YouTube video, and I clicked on that YouTube video. Somebody sent it to me, and you know how it is. Then I clicked, then down the side there's a bunch more, and there was another video, and I clicked on it. And I want you guys to see this. And this is not patting myself on the back. This is an example. About 2 years ago, I can't remember how long it was, we were causing a headache at Columbus City, at the local abortion clinic, Planned Parenthood, and they had a city council ordinance that they were trying to restrict our ability to be able to have free speech at the abortion clinic. Sherrod Brown's daughter's on city council, so she's trying to make a name for herself. And so this was during the 3-minute session. And I watched this last night. And when I watched this, two things popped into my head. Amen. I amen to myself when I listened. But the second thing is, I'm not even a pastor. Where are the pastors? We're talking about the slaughter of unborn children in our city, and they won't even let us step on the sidewalk to rebuke and try to save them. The government's telling us we can't even do that. And then the guys on who are supposed to be the peace keepers, the tolerance crowd, they hate a guy like me. Hey, folks, this is what we got to become. This is 3 minutes. This is a sharp rebuke. Go ahead, dear.
We kept visits since August. I'm there every morning. In fact, they had a nice picture of my goatee. Maybe y'all saw when she put it up there. Some things I think are really important for us all to consider. We're talking about limiting free speech here, right? Yet, up to this point, we've had no evidence. I go to the clinic 3 days a week. There is a police officer always there. If any woman's being harassed, blocked, grabbed, stopped, shook, scared, officer is right there to do it. Is there any evidence of any arrests, any police reports of this happening to anybody? I met with Mr. Roberts yesterday in council, and he didn't have any. I'm wondering, is there any available? Do we have any documented evidence that any of these accusations that are being made are in fact taking place. So if they're not, what if people are being harassed and blocked and grabbed, the police officer ought to be fired. What is he doing? No evidence of it. We asked him for evidence that these things are going on. See, anybody can come in here and tell stories. Anybody can come in here and make up lies. Anybody can do that. I heard this and I heard this and I heard this. We're talking about restricting the free speech rights of American citizens on an issue they feel very passionately about, and there is no evidence that this has even taken place. No evidence at all. Now, I want you to also know this. I was down there. I'm there 3 days a week, and I'm loud. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're killing little babies down there. And I tell the men down there that they better realize they're killing somebody else's grandbaby. Huh? Those death squads are standing there killing somebody else's grandbaby, and they don't even know it. And I'm contending for those little babies. I'm going to continue to contend. I'm very loud. You're going to put me back 15 feet. Do you know now? Do you know now that I have to stand in Main Street? I now have to stand in Main Street for fear that an officer might say I'm harassing. For fear that an officer might say somebody's feeling uncomfortable. I now have to stand in the street. Something's wrong. Hey, I might be on your side. Could you please produce some evidence rather than hearsay? Hearsay evidence is, oh, I felt bad and I felt bad and this lady felt bad and this lady felt bad and this lady felt bad. Hey, if it doesn't fit, we must acquit. It's what Johnny Cochran said. Where's some evidence? It's easy to lie. It's easy to lie. I've heard some in here today, too. I've heard some lying in here today because I'm there. I see what goes on. I don't see a lot of you. I don't see a lot of you. Huh? A lot of liars. I want some evidence. And I would hope, Congressperson Brown, that before any of you act on this, you'll get some evidence that you'll delay this hearing. Say, let's get the evidence. And if this is going on, then first of all, let's fire that officer because he hasn't done his job. And if it's doing it, then we'll pass an ordinance.
Thank you, sir.
Now, what would our American government be like if more Christian men simply did that?
We would.
Why
take,
is this so hard?
We would take over.
Different country.
It'd be a different country. A different country. And see, look, keep that picture right there, Jared. Are you ready? By the way. Can you see any men sitting up there? Oh, there's one guy there in the middle. I don't know why he's there. Do you see it? Do you see it? And do you see, I hate to say it, these are women of color who want to kill their offspring.
Wow.
And I'm the bad guy.
Well, Dave, I would say that, look, the men that we expect to do these things, we believe we have elected them to do that. But they're not doing it, so then we keep electing more guys to go in there to do what the other ones aren't doing, and they still don't do it. And so then the pulpit people aren't doing it. So that's what the whole problem is. There's a whole bunch of jaw-jacking, but there ain't a whole lot of action.
No.
That's the whole problem.
Yeah. The
job of the Christian man is to speak truth to power. Go ahead, Larry.
The problem with elections is too many, quote, Christian people are voting for who they think can get elected instead of who should be elected.
We don't even know what Christian means. We don't even know what that word means. You're looking it up, Christian. Believer in the religion of Christ. A real disciple, one who believes in the truth of the Christian religion. Yes.
Coach, faith without works is dead. Love without example is fallacy. But to say that I hate something and do nothing about it means you really don't hate it. You're just in word. You know, if I tell my wife I love her, but my actions say otherwise, I really don't love her. If I say that abortion is murder and I hate it, then I ought to do something about it. Other words, my words are empty.
Amen, Dale. Amen. Amen. Talk is cheap, as they say. Talk is cheap. Okay, so Mark Trump sent me this yesterday. Thank you, Mark. Yes, I do read. I don't read every word. I read every email. And it takes me some time to do it. And I appreciate all of you who send me information. Mark sent me this one on GLSEN. Championing LGBTQ issues in K-12 education since 1990. Who's doing this? The church? Is the church doing this? No, that's not the church that's doing it. It's GLSEN. Gay, lesbian, whatever the one. You say, Coach, you must be a closet homosexual. You talk about it all the time. No. I'm speaking truth to power. I'm trying to wake you up and let you know what they're doing to your children and your grandchildren. Jared, stay right there and click on, for educators. Quick links for educators. You see that? Yeah, right there. Educator guides. Oh, yeah? GLSEN, school year calendar. Inclusive sexual health education for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer students. Oh, Jared, let's go to the GLSEN school year. This is in your school, and your pastor's telling you just to love these people, just to love them, Brother Dave. We win in the end, Brother Dave. September 10th, we've already come through that. Well, we had Bisexual Awareness Week. We missed all that. Doggone it. Banned Book Weeks, GLSEN out, Ally Week. Wow. Oh, Indigenous Peoples Day. I got to throw that one in there, right? Asexual Awareness Week. Respect Wards. Intersex Awareness Day, October 26th. Oh, my. Transgender Awareness Week. How about Christianity Awareness Week? How about Jesus Christ and John the Baptist Awareness Week? No. Yeah.
We don't have time for that because we have to give children underwear so they can hide their private parts.
Hey, Coach, we don't win in the end. He wins in the end. We can only overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and shrinking not back, even if it's unto death. That's how we overcome.
So, Dale, why did he say they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and then threw in the caveat, overcoming by the word of the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony may cost you your life?
That's it, brother, because that's it. That is it. That is the testimony. That you shrink not back. That's what it says. That you don't shrink back. Matter of fact, Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, in the day of the Lord's appearing, many will shrink back in their faith or because of their shame. Because what, brother?
We win in the end. We win in
because we don't win in the end. He wins in the end. We might lose.
Hey. GLSEN. Go ahead, Mark.
No, this is Larry. We've been trying to segregate and pull out the verses in the Bible that are must know and understand in order to become a child of God. In other words, what should the gospel message be? And Dale just hit on something that is absolutely vital. You know, the word of our testimony, even unto death. You know what? If you do not die to self and surrender your self-will to the leadership of Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit, if you don't do that, you end up a total loser here and in the end.
Larry, we're supposed to be dead already. We've been crucified with Christ. This eternal life comes through dying. You die so you have it. GLSEN was founded in 1990 by a small but dedicated group of teachers in Massachusetts. How about a small and dedicated group of Christian teachers forming something? Proven educational system that too frequently allows its lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning to be boldly discriminated against or fall through the cracks. Yeah, they're all about cracks. Over 25 years later, that small group has grown into a leading national education of or organized focus on ensuring safe schools for LGBTQ students and destroys the morals of every other student. We face a perversive problem, the set of new challenges. 8 out of 10 LGBT students are harassed. Oh, no. Street kids aren't, all right? Huh? Little guys with glasses, they're not harassed. Christians carrying their Bibles, they're not harassed. Glisten trying to protect them. No, they're working to change that. And listen, we want every student in every school to be valued and treated with respect. What a bunch of crap. What a bunch of lies. Huh? We conduct extensive and original research, informed-based evidence for solutions to Kate. They are running education. Now, Jared, go up at the top and click on the chapters. The chapters of Glisten. Is there one in yours? Let's see. Where? I know that was part of Kate. Where was that? Say right there, Jared. We stand registered. Oh, I can't believe I don't have this ready to go. Glisten. Find it.
Go up top, Coach. Find it there.
Yeah, go to Ohio. That's where I live. See if there's any around here. None around here because there was this good. Really? Where are the Christian churches that infiltrated into the heart of public education? Where are those? Anybody know where those might be? Because we just read that a dedicated group of teachers got together and they changed the entire thing. Who's that dedicated group of Christian teachers? Oh, I know. They're just passing through. This world's not our home. We win in the end, Dale. We win in the end. No sense. Hey, let's let all our kids be sodomized and turn into sexual deviants, because it doesn't really matter because we don't win that. We're not passing through here. And by the way, all those sexual deviants, they're gonna get sick and they're gonna die. They're going to die horrible deaths through diseases, but that's okay because we win in the end. What is wrong with us? Hey, Kyle, right wing watch, make sure you get this in there, all right, bud? Buddy, I'm speaking more truth to you guys right now. You guys, it's a death style. All those who hate me love death. You guys hate Christ. You hate him. And we claim to love him. And we let this kind of stuff go on. Say, Coach, man, you sound kind of militant today. I'm feeling kind of militant today. They took over. They've taken over the education of our children. These people, I'm going to tell you right now, they have far more power than the local church. Anybody want to disagree with that? Glisten has far more power than the Christian church.
It's time to take it back, Coach.
I think it is.
Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
See, the difference is they're not afraid to offend people, and the church no. is.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they're not. Glisten ain't trying to get people saved. That's all the church trying to do. They don't care. Hey, go ahead and molest those little boys. That's okay. We'll get them saved after you molested them. That's pretty much our attitude. Go ahead, Jeff.
Next Monday on the 14th, I got a couple Christian men are going with me. We're going back to the school board meetings. They'll love that.
Good. Get your 3 minutes in, punch them in the mouth, and move on. But at some point, we have to build a resistance and begin to fight. That's what I'm doing. If it's just a matter of getting up here in the morning and having a show and make everybody feel better in their heart about Christ, I'm out. I can do that alone at home. I'm out. I want my life. Okay, Jared, here you go. Mark Trump, you'll love this one. AI. Jared, click on it. Sex dolls. Sex dolls. I'm just telling you, man.
Don't mess with sex dolls.
Well, here you go. Look at this one here. I don't know if the sound on this. Look, stay right there, man, Jared. Right at the top headline. Dolly Bird. Sex doll.
They ought to go screw a box of Legos. That'll solve that problem.
Sex dolls are way better than real women. They don't care what I do to them. Three men reveal why they really use sex robots. I don't know if play this, Jared. I don't even know if we can play it. I don't know if we can. A growing number of men have ditched the traditional dating scene, become digisexuals. Digisexuals, a phrase coined by experts in digi whatevers. Buyers of silicone sex dolls can even design their own body parts. Nick is among a growing number of men ready to spend over 6,000 pounds on a plastic partner. I choose Crystal from the Petite series and matched her body to my ideal face. She's called Body 5 with a Nova face. Custom made! It feels amazing to have sex with Crystal. Nick 33 says, I'm not interested in pursuing a romantic relationship with a woman. I think of being with my dolls as a lifestyle choice, similar to deciding to be a vegan. Physically, I can climax with a doll just as easily as I can with a real one. And sometimes I have sex with more than one doll at a time. Single with no children, Nick says he does have a casual, long-distance relationship with a woman. But when it comes down to having sex, real women still come out on top. It feels amazing to have sex with Crystal, but it's not the same as a real woman. Is this unbelievable? Huh?
Hey, Coach. Believe it or not, there's a version of the sex doll that can actually refuse sex with these freaks.
Benny, my focus always stays the same thing, same way. Are we talking about this in Christian circles? Are we talking about this?
No. We're encouraged to talk about these things. We're encouraged to talk about nonsense that doesn't do anything, you know?
We win in the end. We win.
Right. Just sit back. Know everything will be fine. Don't worry about it. Blah, 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 blah. Right. That's nonsense.
Jared, can you click on what Mark Trump put in the chat there? Classroom Magazine, Scholastic.com, early teaching. Are you able to access that, Jared? That link that he put in there. It doesn't matter. We only got a couple. We only got two or three.
Yeah. What I was doing, Coach, is there's a lot of other organizations like GLSN. This is one called Scholastic. And if you look across the top, they've been in place for a while. They go through third grade through 12th. So at least they're giving kindergartens through second graders a little chance for their brains to develop.
Unbelievable. I remember Scholastic Magazine. I remember that when I was early, years and years ago. See, hey, folks, the devil has infiltrated every area of our lives.
Hey, Coach, this is when I was a kid, I used to love getting this magazine because I was a reader. So every day, you know, when it came in, I wanted to get it. So this is what you get when you're a kid and you're looking for something to read now. This is what you get.
Folks, I want you to think about this. All the things they could be teaching young children. Why sex?
Yeah, really. Oh, my goodness.
Why masturbation feels good and it's okay to do it. Why that early? They'll figure that out on their own and then fight that battle later. But why start that early? So they don't have any defense against it or what?
So we can get them now, Mark. We need them now.
We win in the end. Doesn't matter if some little kid gets lured into sexual deviancy and lives a life of 20 years. We win in the end. We're sick. Christians are sick. Christianity is sick. Boys, it's sick. Oh my God! I got a million more things. I don't got a minute left. Continue to pray for Brian Cunningham and pray for Todd and pray for boy Robbie Watchman, Rusty's son-in-law. And I'm forgetting people. Even when we start getting into that, we're at war, baby. We're at war. And I don't know about you, as I wrote last week, I'm gonna go down standing up. I'm gonna tell you this. I ain't living my last years in a nursing home. That may be your goal. Not me. No. I'm not going to be laying in that bed, have somebody wiping my butt. I'm not going to go out like that. And when I go out, I'm going to go out with a bang. I'm going to stand up for Christ I'm going to go down in a way that's going to glorify my Lord. And I don't know why we are so afraid to stand up and fight back against the forces of darkness. Overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. The word of your testimony, you got to tell somebody. And when you tell them, it just might cost you your life. God bless you. See you tomorrow.